Amen. All right. Tony said it will be on podcast. I would encourage you when it's up there, download it, listen it to it. It will encourage you. It will bring a few things in your life into perspective. And it will just be great fun. Father, thank you for every person you've touched this morning, every person you've healed, every person you've encouraged, and even those people that you're still speaking to and encouraging. Lord, even as I share a little bit from your word, I just pray for open spirits, open minds, and bring greater understanding. And I pray that you release a spirit of revelation upon your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm just as equally as excited this morning sharing the word of God with you as much as I was on Friday night, because the word of God brings revelation, brings understanding, but not only does it bring revelation and understanding, it is an understanding that is meant to unlock doors in your own life. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So I think it was having our long, slow journey from Wellington. It was very long on record, the longest it's ever taken us. It took us 3 days. So I get, can I do the talking? Reverend wants me to talk, so keep quiet so I can. So you gotta have both sides of the equation. So I think the fastest trip we've ever done from Wellington to Brisbane would have been about 9.5 hours. That's the fastest. And then the slowest is 3 days. So I think we were driving like 3 hours and stop. Thank God for Tony. We brought the caravan home. So we would just drive and stop and stay at night. So on Sunday, we stayed a night in Moree. Well, we are heading towards Goonawindi. You can blame Louise. She sends a text says, in Moree, there are those attention, hot spa, springing things. I said, oh, we're just in Moree. Let's stop. Well, it's paraphrased or expanded. Make it the amplified version. So we stopped in Moree and we stayed the Friday and Saturday night there. And I had a dream. Anybody ever have dreams? It's good. It's a cool thing. I guess maybe I'm getting older. Because it's old men who dream dreams. So probably I'm getting just slightly older. And the older I'm getting, I'm seeming to get more dreams. Sleep well too. So anybody wants to know what dream I had? Okay, only Ross wants to. It's one of those things where the Lord would put a word on your heart and then you don't pay attention. Because I've talked about it and it's never made much sense. You ever read the scripture that doesn't make much sense? And then I'm dreaming, the Lord is reading to me or saying to me, Zechariah chapter 10. And as I wake up, I had a little bit more understanding than I had before. Anybody remembers what Zechariah 10:1 says? Come on, you should know this one. You'd have probably heard about it. Sorry? That is 4:10. But close. Oh, she's cheating. Okay, what does it say?
Says, what, just one? Ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field.
Do you get it? Anybody with a different version? What does your version say?
Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter or spring rain. It is the Lord who makes lightnings which usher in the rain and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. Or pray to God for rain. It's time for the spring rain. To God the rainmaker, spring thunderstorm maker, maker of grain and barley. Or ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It's the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone.
Well, she just made sure she read every available version. So that means I can't say anyone else with a different version. What does that say, Marco? I'll give you this Shosha thing.
Doesn't look right. Zechariah 1.
Zechariah chapter 10, this one.
Oh, that's why. It's got 10. I'll get there. Give me a chance without glasses. Zechariah 10. Ask rain from Jehovah in the time of the latter rain. Jehovah shall make lightnings, and he gives them showers of rain, grass to each man in the field. For the family idols speak iniquity, that's sin, and the divining ones have seen a lie and have told false dreams.
That's cool. All right, so is it making any sense to anybody? Okay. Yeah, so what you're saying, naturally, I think it sounds dumb. If it is the rain season, why are you asking for rain? So, I was feeling that on my heart all day, and I just discarded it, that, Lord, this is a little bit not making sense. And then I go to sleep. I dream the Lord is saying, ask for rain. In the time of rain. Ask for rain in the season of rain. Okay? What does the Lord want you to do? When? Okay. And then he started preaching to me. It's nice when you get God preach to you. So, and what was the... You need to collect offerings. Are you getting the revelation here? Ask for money in the time of money. Okay, pay attention. It's going to come quick and fast. If you're not paying attention, you miss it. Father, I thank you for the gifts of giving. And I think what I'm understanding and learning is that the Word of God is always very multifaceted. It's got different facets to it. It's got many faces. So he speaks one thing that would mean several things. And this is the case in this situation. It is the one thing that he's saying to us, but has got multifold meanings. Okay? On Friday, we talked about the fig tree. And we said the fig tree, most often in the Bible, represented what? Israel. Which also, by extension, represents what? The church, which by extension represents what? You. Okay? We remember that bit? So, in the time, in a season, that means seasons are very important, seasons are very significant, but also seasons are indicative of what God is doing. Okay? Seasons are indicative of what God is doing. Also, seasons are indicative of what should be happening. So that means in the season of rain, there should be rain. In the season of rain, it also reveals the will and the heart of God for you in that particular time. Okay? So if it is a season of rain, it gives you a quick damn revelation that God wants it to be raining. Does that make sense? So that little factor gives you confidence, courage, and faith to contend for the fruit of the season. Because the heart and the will of God for you in that particular season is to have rain. Does that make sense? So you look at every season in your life and translate it to the practicality. What should be happening in this season of my life? That means in a time of sickness, ask for healing. In a time of need, ask for provision. Because that particular time and season is an indication of what you should be asking for. Does that make sense? So the time of sickness is not to be groaning over your sickness. It is time to be encouraged. That, okay, looks like he wants me to be asking for healing. In time of need, what does that indicate to you? Because one guy figured out that the Lord is a very present help in time of need, in time of trouble. Now, why does he want you to ask for rain in a time of rain? Because in his heart, he has resolved it is a season of rain. But he wants your heart to come in alignment with his heart. Okay? So that in a season of rain, you can start believing for rain. So that in the season of rain, you can start trusting God for rain. So in the season of rain, you can set your heart to a place of expectation that it's gonna rain. But it is bright, no clouds outside, it's blue and clear. Yeah, that's what he said, but there should be rain. Does that make sense? Making sense here? Do we understand that? So God wants you to come into alignment with Him for the season you are in. Because when you start praying, you begin to set your heart from what is to what should be. Okay? Let's qualify that little statement. Marco had read verse 2. Okay? So, it says, ask the Lord rain in the time of rain. Is that good? And what rain are we dealing with there? Spring rain. What rain are we talking about? Latter rain. Okay? And this is also a phrase that the Bible uses interchangeably with the Holy Spirit. This is a word that is also used interchangeably with times of renewal, with times of refreshing, with times of revival. Okay? So when the Bible says latter rain, it is meaning the second rain, but in sometimes it is also meaning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Are we together on that? So, verse 2, this is what the Israelites had done in the time of rain. Okay? So the Israelites, in the time of rain, they looked to the teraphims, which is the household's gods. Okay? They looked to their idols. They looked to their own abilities. They looked to their own creativity. They looked to their own strength. They looked to their own answers. And because they looked to themselves, they looked to the idols, they looked to other things other than God, they walked into deceit and deception and they never got rain. Did anybody understand that? Ask the Lord rain when in the time or the season of latter rain or spring rain. Why? Because it is the Lord who makes lightning. It is the Lord who brings in the thunder clouds. It is the Lord that brings in rain cloud. And He gives rain, He gives men showers and grass to everybody. Who needs grass? Okay, somebody's getting it. Okay, why does He give grass? Why is it important? He says He gives grass. Because every one of these people He's talking to had livestock, had cows, which represents wealthy, which presents prosperity, which presents money. And T-bone. And Grand Angus. And barbecue. Okay? So you understanding. So He's talking about rain, but not only is He talking about rain, He's talking about the outpouring of the Spirit. And not only is He talking about the outpouring of the Spirit, He's talking about your prosperity. He's talking about your provision. Because if there wasn't grass in the field, your animals will starve, which means you become poor. Okay? For why? For the teraphims have spoken in vanity. They have spoken empty words. They have spoken things that comes to no avail. And the diviners have seen a lie. Okay. Stay with me for a little bit longer here. So when God, Zechariah is saying this, okay, he is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy. If you are African, we'll just say Deuteronomy. And then we'll be done with it. Okay? You gotta read Zechariah 10 with the understanding of Deuteronomy 11. Okay? I'm gonna read verse 13 and 15, which says, so if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay, this is a call to intimacy. It's a call to fellowship with God. It's a call to friendship with God. It's a call to be totally and utterly poured out and emptied before God. Okay? So if we are in a place of intimacy, in a place of communion and union with God, because you've poured all your heart to him, this is what the Bible promises will happen. Verse 14 says, then I will send rain on your land in its season. When is he going to send rain? Why is he going to send rain? Because you're in a place of fellowship and intimacy with him. When you're in a place of fellowship and intimacy with him, then shall he pour out his spirit on you. Then shall he bring times of renewal. Then shall he bring times of refreshing. Then shall he bring times of revival. Then shall he bring times of prosperity. Okay? Then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain. Okay? How many rains is it going to bring? Two. Okay? Which ones? The autumn and the spring. The early and the latter. You see, what is the significance of the autumn rain? After a long summer, the land has become dry and hard. Because it's very dry and hard, it's difficult to till the land and sow the seed. So he brings the autumn rain to soften up the ground so you can apply your faith, trust God, and believe God, put differently, so you can sow your seed. Okay? What is the significance of the latter rain? It is the second rain that brings increase, that makes things grow, that brings prosperity, that brings their fruit, that brings their harvest. And God wants to bring both rains. So that you may gather in your grain new wine and new oil. Are you seeing just how deliberate he is? You may gather what? Grain. I may pour second rain, which is the Spirit. So you may gather grain, which is the life flow of Jesus. So you may have wine, which is the new spirit. So you may have the oil, which is the anointing. The whole package. But first up, what does he want you to do? Ask for rain. And then because the number one thing we said, when we ask, we come to a place of alignment. We come to a place of positioning ourselves so we begin to see things the way he is looking at things. Okay? But there is more. The word ask in the original Aramaic or Hebrew means a few things. Okay? The number one thing, this word ask, it means to inquire. Okay? It means to inquire. So in the time of rain, ask the Lord some questions. Okay? What should you do in the time of rain? Ask the Lord some questions. Why is it not raining in a time of rain? There was a time, 2 Samuel chapter 21. This is when David became king. Okay? 2 Samuel 21, I'll start reading from verse 1. You can just write that down and read it in your own time. Okay, what verse was that? I didn't hear. What? Verse 1, okay? Ready to listen? During the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 consecutive years. For 3 successive years. What was there? For how long? 3 years. During the reign of who? Okay. So this is a place that these Israelites understand. Okay? So they know this is a time of rain. And if there is not rain in the time of rain, there is a problem. Okay? So David sought the face of the Lord. So David inquired of the Lord. Okay? It was a time of rain, and in the time of the rain, what was the other variable translation of the word ask? Ask God some questions. In a time of need, ask God some questions. In a time of sickness, ask God some questions. In the time of rain, ask God some questions. In a time of need, ask God some questions. Put differently, inquire of the Lord. So David asked the Lord some questions. And the Lord said, David, it has not been raining for the past 3 years on account of Saul. I mean, when was Saul the king of this country? That many years ago? And for some reason, because of Saul, who was king that many years ago, for the last 3 years it has not been raining? Seriously? What did Saul do? The Lord said, it's on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death. Because 400 years ago, okay, so if you say that happened a long time ago, here's quick revelation. How many years ago? 400 years ago, in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites tricked Joshua. They took very old wineskin, put old clothes and old sandals on, and they went to Joshua and said, we've come from a very far away country, and we've heard what your God is doing. We've come to make peace with you, that you don't kill us. And Joshua, the Bible says, did not ask the Lord questions. What did Joshua do? He did not ask the Lord questions. He relied on what the people had told him. He relied on what he was seeing. And he cut a deal that, okay, we will never kill you. And then they found out that this guy's living in Narangba. Okay. Come on, come to me. Okay, so I'm just trying to paint a picture so you understand. So they found out that this guy's just lived next door. But because he did not ask the Lord questions, out of his own wisdom and understanding, he made a covenant. He was bound to the covenant. So while Israel was killing everybody around them, they could not touch the Gibeonites. And after 400 long years, I think it slipped out of the mind of Saul. And he went and killed them. But because he killed them, he violated a covenant. And because he violated the covenant, the spring rain was withheld over the nation. What does that mean to you and me? Breaking promises, violating covenants, does have consequences. But the issue here is not that they violated the covenant. The issue is it did not rain. And when it didn't rain, when the season was uncharacteristic to its nature, they ask the Lord questions. So, are you following or it's too much? So to inquire is to ask the Lord. To ask is to inquire. And by inquiring, we mean we have to make examination. That's the other meaning. Okay? So that means in that season, examine the season, but also examine the promises of the Lord and examine your life. Did you understand that? What do you do? Examine your life. What did David do? He examined the whole nation. Okay? He's seek for particular information. And are you getting bored? Here's the second thing. Probably is my most exciting part of what the possible other meaning of the word ask. Do you want to know? All right, put your hand up if you want to know. Well, Marco, the other word ask means, it means demand. So what that means is, in the season of rain, demand of the Lord for rain. That excites me, seriously. In the season of rain, place on the Lord a demand. In that season of rain, you make a claim to the privileges, the rights, and the promises of God over your life for that season. Remember, he is thinking Deuteronomy 11:13, where the Lord said, I will send rain in its season. So having examined himself and having examined the season, he comes to a conclusion that, Lord, you promised in Deuteronomy 11 that you're going to send rain in each season, the first rain and the second rain, when I give my whole heart to you. And I've given my whole heart to you. I'm in a place of fellowship and communion and intimacy with you. Therefore, based on your word to me and your promise to me, I'm placing a demand on your faithfulness that I get rain in this season of rain. That just changes the whole understanding. So what God wants you to do is, in every season of your life, according to your faithfulness and integrity in walking with him, demand that he releases the promises of that season in your life. Demand. Has anybody ever seen a toddler, a breastfeeding kid, hungry, and makes a demand to be breastfed in public to the embarrassment of the mother at the shopping center? Anybody ever seen that? Mothers, anybody of you remember that? Because that baby knows it's feeding time. And when it's feeding time, it places a demand on the mother. I'm going to take my boob in public. The babies are, don't care, take it out. I remember Benjamin turning Nico into an African mother. You know, there's a place where the baby's demanding and you're worried about discretion and you put a little thing and then it screams, you're just like, step it in. Look, there's people, I don't care. I can give more graphic description, but I think that makes a point. So, what does that mean? Demand. Probably in a word that is more a little bit civilized, there, demand is call. Okay? So it would also mean in the time of rain, call for rain. Are you understanding? In the time of rain, do what? Call for rain. Whose responsibility it is to call for rain? You. So this is the same picture of Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Speak it out. Prophesy. Call it forth. Okay? So what is the Lord inviting you to? To prophesy to the seasons. Speak it. Place a demand. Call forth. Okay? And the thing about calling forth, you are speaking as one who has a claim. Okay? So probably they claim it and name it. Makes sense here. All right? Make a claim. Where do we use the word claim? Insurance policy. Which means you have been paying your premiums for a long time, and when something goes out of work, you make a claim based on the premiums you've been paying. And the nature of a sense is that the insurer is obligated to honor your claim. Okay? What's the policy? Paid on the cross. And because of the price paid on the cross, you are put in a place where you are eligible to place a demand, call forth, and make a claim on God for the manifestation of the season you are in. Does that make sense? So the cool question comes quickly is, what season am I in? All right? What season are you in? Thank you, Jeffrey. What season are you in? And according to the faithfulness and the goodness and the promises of the Lord, what claim am I entitled to? What demand can I place on God? For years I've been teaching you guys, learn to place a demand on the anointing of the man of God. Men, learn to place a demand on the anointing of the prophet or the preacher or the somebody who's preaching. Some of us are getting it. But more than that, it's not about learning to place a demand on the anointing of the preacher. It is also coming to a place where we're going a little bit step higher, learning to place a demand on the promises of the faithfulness of God to you in this time and season. So we said seasons are indicative of what God wants to do. So what season are you in? What are you experiencing? What is happening in your life? What are the markers and indication in you? And that gives you a clue of what season you are in and what demand you should be placing on God. Making sense? How much sense are we making? A lot? Good. So, which means the key thing in your life is to understand what? Seasons. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Chronicles 12:32. It talks about a group of people in Israel that were very distinctly unique, not because they were brilliant men of war, but the unique gifting they had, they understood the times and the seasons. And not only did they understand the times and the seasons, they also knew what Israel ought to be doing. Okay? This is Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's about the men of Issachar. The men of Issachar who understood the times. Okay? What is important? God wants you to understand the times. Because seasons are important to him. Seasons are markers of what he wants to do in your life. Seasons are markers of what he wants to do in your community. Seasons are markers of what he wants to do in your nation. So it's incumbent upon you and me to understand their seasons. To understand their times. Because how are you going to know it's a time of rain if you do not understand it is a time of rain? How are you going to know it's a season of rain if you don't know it's a season of rain? Does that make sense? So these guys, the men of Issachar, understood their times and seasons. And they knew what Israel had to be doing. And you know how many of them? 200 of them. So that means that every time and season, the men of Issachar should say, this is what we ought to be doing. What demands should we be placing on the Lord? Here is the other thing that the word rain would refer to. Okay, what did we say rain would refer to? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there will be what? Wine, which is what? The new thing, the new move, the new outpouring, which is revival. And there would also be oil, which is what? The anointing. But the other thing that the word rain also refers to is the word of the Lord. The word of God is like rain, because it will never return to him void. Whenever he releases it, it cultivates and works on the seed and brings increase. It brings fruit. Okay? Here's a cool verse, Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. It says, let my teaching, okay, let what? Fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundance of rain on tender plant. So the thing is, when we understand what we are teaching, what I'm saying, and what I'm encouraging you, that word, that teaching becomes like rain on your life, which is going to bring fruitfulness, which is going to bring increase, which is going to bring multiplication, which is going to bring great abundance to you. And what is his word? What are his teaching? If you be careful to obey all my commands that I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, then shall I send rain upon you in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain. How incredible is that? Just incredible. Here's Ezekiel 34:26. Ezekiel 24:26 says, showers in. He's gonna. There we go. We're gonna start from somewhere. And I will make them. Who is them? You. He's talking about the people of Israel. He's talking about me. And I'll make them and the places around my hill. He's talking about he'll make the people of Israel and the places around Jerusalem. He's going to make you and the places around your neighborhood. He's going to make you and the places around your city. What is he going to make you? A blessing. So the showers also means blessings. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. Is anybody understanding how much is strongly emphasizing this season? How much is strongly emphasizing that the rain will come to you? But not only is it going to come, it's going to come when? In season. Okay? It will come in seasons. And then Ezekiel deciphers this one. There shall be showers of blessings. Did you get that? What is this rain is talking about? There will be showers of what? Blessings. What that means is no more delayed dancers. Well, I've been slacking off in this season for the last 20 years. Well, that means you've missed 20 seasons for the last 20 years. No more delays. Because this blessing is, these showers of blessing will come when? In season. And because there's these showers of blessing upon you in season, you will be a blessing. And the blessing on your life will extend to people around you. I so. I think this is just too much. There is more, but I think you've had enough. What is the Lord saying to you? In a time of rain, ask the Lord some questions. Ask some questions. The children of Issachar understood the times, but also knew what Israel ought to be doing. So some of the questions could be, Lord, what should I be doing in this season? Okay? What would be the question? What should I be doing in this season? Coming from Joshua's little staff up with the Gibeonites. So, in demanding, you are placing your claim above the prevailing circumstances. Okay? Because your claim has got more preeminence over whatever is happening. Okay? Going back to what I was talking about last Friday, what is Jesus doing to the fig tree? He's placing a demand on a fig tree. Because if it's got green leaves, it should have first fruit. And if it should have first fruit, I'm demanding fruit out of a tree out of season. Does that make sense? So circumstances can be very convincing. Just like the Gibeonites, when they came to Joshua, they wore their old shoes, ripped up clothes, ripped up wineskins, and said, "We've come a very long way." They looked like people that have traveled for many days. They smelled like people that have traveled for many days. They looked hungry like people that have traveled for many days. But irregardless of the situation, circumstance, or the appearance of what things seemed to be, Joshua should have asked questions. He should have inquired of the Lord. So what's the natural thing do we do when things are out of sync with the season? We get frustrated. We get angry. We get whiny. And all the things in between. Imagine if you asked questions. Imagine if you inquired. Imagine if you allowed the promises of the Lord to take more preeminence over what things look like. Amen. So let's stand for a moment. What season is it in your life? Anybody figured out what this season is in their lives? Well, if you haven't, ask the Lord some questions. Because there is seasons. What season is it in your life? Whatever that season is there to give you a marker of what you should be demanding for. Okay? In times of need, what are we demanding for? Provision. In times of lack, what are we demanding for? Abundance. In time of sickness, what are we demanding for? Sickness or health. In times of rain, what are we demanding for? Rain. And if it hasn't been raining, let's do what David did. He asked the Lord some questions. Why hasn't it not been raining for the last 3 years? Why haven't I been bearing fruit for the last little while? Maybe we've killed some Gibeonites that we shouldn't have. Here's a common covenant we violate. This is not about money. How about the promises we made to the Lord in our tithes and offerings? Have we been faithful? If we haven't, will that reflect why we've not been having breakthroughs in our paddocks and seeing the grass grow? In whichever areas. So, can I get you just to respond to the Lord in your own way as He brings revelation? Father, I thank you for your word and your teaching and just the revelation and the understanding that you've been bringing to us in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the times and seasons you bring us through. And Lord, thank you for giving us the understanding that in the time of rain, we'll place a demand on your faithfulness. But I ask that where we've been faithless, where we've not held up our end of the deal, I ask for forgiveness. Just ask the Lord to forgive you in areas where you feel you've probably have lacked. And in areas where we've not really surrendered and totally committed ourselves to you, we yield to you. Father, we want to be what you're promising and what you're commanding in Deuteronomy 11. We want to be careful to obey you and your commands in loving you. We want to walk in a place of fellowship with you. We want to walk in a place of intimacy with you. And because of our intimacy and fellowship with you, that you're pouring rain on our families, on our lives, on our marriages, on our relationships, on our work, on our businesses, both the autumn rain and the spring rain. Father, I thank you that you will cause us to be the blessing and the hill around us. You're going to send your showers of blessings in season. And Lord, I pray for a release in all those delayed promises. I pray for a release in the delayed harvest. I pray for a release in the delayed seed that has even gone dormant and died. And if you just examined your heart in your own words, can I get you to pray? Can I get you to place a demand? Okay? It says place a demand. It's not the pastor placing a demand on your behalf. You place a demand for yourself, that you may experience increase and fruitfulness in this season of your life. Father, I thank you for me. Open your mouth. Speak it out. You don't demand quietly. If that's what babies did, they all starve to death because they'll never get fed. Place a demand on him. Place a demand on the Spirit. Place a demand on his promises. Place a demand on the anointing, on the presence. Place a demand on his promises for you.